Hey, everybody. Pastor Steve here. Easter is this Sunday. I'm excited about it, and I know you are as well. We will have our regular schedule on Sunday morning, three services, 8:30, 9:45, and 11 o'clock with life groups meeting all 3 hours. So you be here. And please be praying that today God gives you an opportunity to invite someone to come with you on Easter Sunday. I mean, that is a great holiday to celebrate and a great opportunity to invite a guest to join you for worship and for life group this coming Sunday morning, Easter Sunday. Today in our Bible reading plan for our devotion, we are in Luke chapter 23, which covers Jesus' trial before Pilate and being beaten and then crucified. And what stood out to me when I was reading chapter 23 was actually the opening two verses. So let's look at those for a moment. The Bible says, then the whole body of them, that's the Sanhedrin, the Jewish religious leaders, the court that had condemned Jesus and was going to take him to Pilate for execution, the Roman Pilate being the Roman governor, if you will. And then it says the whole body, so this Sanhedrin, this religious group, the whole body of them, all of them, got up and brought Jesus before Pilate. And they began to accuse him, not just one of them, a spokesman, but all of them. They started as a group accusing Jesus, saying, "We found this man misleading our nation and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar," i.e. the Roman Empire, the Roman Emperor, "and saying that he himself is Christ, a king." He is king instead of Caesar. And I read that and I was struck initially by the idea that the whole body, that the whole crowd, it's almost like a mob, got up and together took Jesus, because Jesus had been arrested the previous evening there in the Garden of Gethsemane, and during the night had been on trial before this Jewish court, the Sanhedrin. They had beaten him, spit on him, mocked him, all kinds of things. And then that morning early, they together take Jesus to Pilate. And I was just struck by the idea that the whole body, all of them. And then what it said they did, they began accusing Jesus, saying he's misleading the nation. He's forbidding people to pay taxes to Caesar. He's claiming to be king instead of Caesar, and on and on. And I had a thought about the way in these verses Jesus' enemies attacked him. Because when we read the Gospels, we've already seen there were different times when they were plotting against Jesus and trying to catch him in a trap to discredit him. And so here it's all coming to a head. It's all coming together as these enemies of Christ attack him. And I want to speak briefly about the ways they attack Jesus, and about the way in our culture enemies sometimes attack their enemies, whether it's in the community and politics and institutions, at times, unfortunately, even in churches. And the first thing that I want to point out is how they distorted what Jesus actually said. They, for instance, accused him of telling people not to pay taxes to Caesar. Well, that's an out-and-out lie. That's a distortion of what Jesus actually said. Back in chapter 20, verses 19 and following, they ask him about paying tribute or taxes to Caesar. And Jesus essentially says, "Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and to God what belongs to God. Caesar's image is on the coin. Hey, that's his. Pay taxes. God's image is on you. Give yourself to God." So Jesus never said don't pay taxes. They distorted what Jesus actually said. And isn't that what happens in our culture? Whether we see it a lot in politics, but we see it also in social issue controversies, and is that somebody says something and we take a snippet of what they said and we twist it, we distort it to our own ends. And the reality is that distorting what someone else says for our end, for our purpose, is deceitful. It is lying. It is untruth. It is a sin. It's what they did to Jesus. It's what we often do. We distort. Politics is horrible for that on all sides. And we've got to be careful we don't fall into that same trap of distorting what someone actually says for our gain. Secondly, they attacked the truth of what Jesus said. They attacked the truth of what Jesus said. The last part of it, they said he's saying that he is Christ, a king. And what they were focusing on is the fact that the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one, is the king of the Jews. But Jesus was a spiritual kingdom, not an earthly kingdom. But they just hammered that to make it sound horrible. Hey, Pilate, he's usurping the authority of Caesar over there in Rome. And so sometimes if you can't convince people that the truth is wrong, you just attack it. You attack the truth so forcefully and so consistently and with a mob mentality that people begin to think the truth is no longer true. And boy, that's prominent in our culture. Thirdly, they got their tribe, so to speak. That's a big word today, my tribe. Who's my tribe? Well, everybody who's in my group, everybody who agrees with me, everybody who's like me, my tribe. They got their tribe, i.e. the Sanhedrin, the other religious leaders of Judaism. They got their tribe to all say the same thing, because if enough voices say the same thing, even if it's misleading or untrue, but if a lot of voices, the same voices, repeat it often enough and repeat it loudly enough, after a while, people will begin to believe it, even if it's not necessarily true or if it is a distortion of the truth. And we live in an echo chamber in America. This tribe, they all line up and say the same thing. If you're for Trump, they all say the same thing about Biden. If you're for Biden, they all say the same thing about Trump. And you can apply that to anything out there. I get my tribe and my tribe just hammers it. And you have to guard yourself against the mob mentality, because the mob mentality will carry you into some places that in the long run, you will regret having gone. And if those don't work, then just attack their motives. They attack Jesus' motives. This man is misleading our nation. He's a charlatan, taking us down a path of destruction. And if you can't argue with what someone's actually saying, you just attack who they are. And you attack why they are doing what they're doing. And you assign motives. And man, we're really good at that in our culture. He did that because, even if we don't really know why he did it, we just make assumptions about people and we spit it out. The truth is, when we follow the example of the Sanhedrin, the mob, the group that attacked Jesus, when we follow the example that we see so often in politics and other institutions and parts of our American culture today, if we're not careful, we might find ourselves sinning. And that's not what we want. When destroying your enemy, and there's all kinds of verses in this chapter and other chapters that what they really wanted to do was destroy Jesus. And when we find that destroying our enemy, or that winning at all cost, is what matters most to us, matters more to us than the truth, we're in a dangerous place. Because that mob mentality can take on a momentum of its own and drown out all other reasonable voices. It happens in churches. It happens in politics. It happens in the culture. It happens in relations. It just happens. But be careful, because it led to Jesus being crucified. And I don't, and you don't, we don't want it to lead us into behavior or choices that afterward we say, look back on, when we're removed from it, we look back on it and say, wow, how did I let that happen to me? So be careful when it comes to the mob and the shouts and the loud voices. When it says the whole body of them got up and did it, when your tribe is marching towards something, you better make certain your tribe is marching on the right highway toward the right destination and doing it the right way. If you're a follower of Jesus, you follow him, not any tribe. And that's the word for today. And I'll see you tomorrow as we look at the resurrection and get ready for Easter Sunday. God bless you.